Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band together. We're going to have some fun. We're going to wrap up our show today with some local good stories of the day, get an update from the United Way, and some That Ain't Right stories we'll touch on as well. We kick this hour off with a little bit of entertainment news, and filming sites from the Pee Wee's Big Adventure are paying their respects to the passing of Paul Reubens. If you remember in the movie, Pee-wee goes to the Alamo in Texas after a fortune teller falsely tells him his bike is there in the basement. Well, the Alamo posted a statement saying, quote, "Since 1985, not a day has passed without visitors constantly inquiring about the location of the basement at the Alamo."
Isn't that sweet?
Quote, "This tradition owes its origins to the comedic acting of Mr. Paul Reubens. We are immensely grateful for his unforgettable contributions to the Alamo pop culture. However, we can confirm that while there is not a basement in the Alamo church, there is one next door under our gift shop. May he rest in peace." That's beautiful. That's awesome.
So do you think they put the basement under the gift shop after the movie or before?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, because if it didn't have one, I would add one quick.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Another scene from the movie features a large T-Rex sculpture from Cabazvan Dinosaurs in Southern California. I've actually been past there. Mr. Rex was repainted to wear the iconic gray suit and red bow tie with a red heart and Pee-wee's name on his belly. For those interested in seeing the Pee-wee tribute, it'll be up until October 30th.
That's really sweet.
It's incredibly sweet. I think it's very cool what they did. I don't want to make light of that, and I'm not trying to, you know, take anything from the legacy of Paul Reubens. Everybody, you go on social media, you'll see all the comedians that I've grown up loving talking about how much they love Paul Reubens. I would appreciate, and I think it'd be really cool to see people paying as much tribute to Phil Hartman as well, because Phil Hartman was Paul Reubens' writing partner, and Phil Hartman, that bike that the whole movie's based on, Phil Hartman created that. That was Phil Hartman's creation. That gray suit, that was his idea. Like, a good, and Paul Reubens would be the first person to admit this, a good 40 to 60% of that character was created by Phil Hartman. And we lost Phil Hartman in a much more, just as, if not more, tragic way. And I think any opportunity to bring somebody like that back into the light to maybe, you know, maybe there's, I've got students that, like, who's Phil Hartman? Like, well, let me tell you, maybe the greatest impersonator Saturday Night Live ever had. Maybe one of the greatest, most versatile comedian actors we've ever had in the game. I like the opportunity of certainly giving Mr. Reubens his flowers and paying respect to him. But my God, I mean, Phil Hartman, man. Phil Hartman was one of the greatest to ever do it. And we lost him way too young. Here's a great opportunity to say, hey, yes, we give respect to Paul Reubens. And also, we miss Phil Hartman. And here's an opportunity to remember his legacy that so much of has getting thrown to the wayside and nobody remembers. I think that'd be cool. You could do both, I feel like. And that's pretty cool that they did this. Real shout out to the Alamo, too. Very well done by them. That's smart marketing on their part.
It's a good grab,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's a good grab. Let's see here. Here's another one of these jobs that's offered. They're offered people. The Coco Bodu Hitachi Resort in South Asia is looking to hire a Ken. Just a Ken. Just a Ken doll.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
yet.
Well,
no, no.
Okay.
So they just want them on the beach.
Yeah.
It's apparently only for residents of the UK, which, you know, might suck if you wanted that job over here. Whoever gets chosen will be flown out for 10 days along with, quote, a partner or Alan of their choosing. Now there are some requirements for the gig. The winning applicant will have to know how to, quote, stand proudly in the sand, empty his head of all thoughts, hold and lean on a surfboard, know the words to Push by Matchbox 20 by heart, and among other things.
So in the movie, Ken's only job is beach. So that's what they just call it. Like,
okay,
he does beach.
Yeah,
so he, like, stands looking handsome on the beach.
Yeah, you know.
And then this Alan is like his friend, but it's like the underrated, you know, other boy Barbie Alan. And so it, I mean, so there is some humor with it. Like, I think it's kind of funny, actually.
I never get mad at a company for trying to find creative ways of hitting on a market. Like, the Barbie movie is gigantic right now. Why not hit on that marketing thing if you can, you know? I don't know what the, they're not saying what the job offers money-wise, though. I think that whenever they don't give you the money, when they don't tell you that in the article, that makes me wonder a little bit.
But, you know, I don't know. Stand on the beach for 10 days?
Get to go to Asia? I mean, sounds pretty South Asia. That sounds pretty cool. I'd take that gig. Some new music out there for you. Let's see here. A Love Letter to You from Trip Red is out, and Heart Full of Rage from Tylee Tawai. But this is a big one, Terry. Maybe not a big one, but just shocked me. Part of the reason I wanted to even do this. Automatic from Rick Springfield. His 21st album. Rick Springfield just released a new album.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool for him. Being honest here, I'm not a big Rick Springfield guy or anything, but I just think it's cool when you see an artist that his 21st album, I had no idea he had that much music out
Rick
there.
Springfield just played at the fair in Wausau on Wednesday.
And killed it, I heard. I heard he did a great job. Well, I mean, he was really good.
Really, Jesse's Girl, how can you not kill it?
Yeah. You got to wrap with that, right? You got to end with Jesse's Girl. You have to end with that.
Well, I'd like you to open and end with it.
maybe he starts with an acoustic version and ends with the electric version or something. New TV on your small screen this weekend. The third season premiere of Secret Celebrity Renovation. Let's see here. On CMT, you got Jordan Davis performing on CMT Summer Sessions. I've caught a couple of those. Those are pretty cool.
Those are cool.
They're very stripped down, very like, it feels like a lot of what country music should be. You know, just a guy and his guitar, a girl and her guitar or something like that. And just very kind of fun. Celebrity Family Feud is on ABC Sunday at 7. Adam Devine and Adams Holmes. It's NFL players, NFL Hall of Fame players going up against NFLPA All-Stars versus NFL Hall of Famers.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. That'd be kind of fun.
Also on Sunday on ABC, $1,000 Pyramid. Jeff Ross versus Robert Hajuya and Cedric the Entertainer versus Joy Coy. Should be a good one. Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, the second season of that premieres. I can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to the Lollapalooza live stream continuing all weekend long. Kendrick Lamar is performing tonight. I am watching that. I don't care what's going on. And
I hope your internet doesn't go down.
All right, yeah. And I think it's either Saturday or Sunday the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be
cool.
on. And I've seen the Chili Peppers. I actually saw them at the Kohl Center in Madison. And one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. I can't wait to see, you know, 10, 15 years later or whatever, what their show might look like. But that's, I think it is so dang cool what they are doing with that.
Well, if it doesn't look good, just turn your face a little bit and just listen. Because I'm sure it'll sound good.
There you go.
Sometimes the revival tours don't look good, but... You know,
I got that when I went and saw. I will say when I went to Ozfest, I went to the first like four or five Ozfests, and Ozzy is there, and he had a couple of those. He brought on the remaining members of Black Sabbath, and it was great. They were really good, but I imagine not nearly, you know, in their prime. Or
I just say it happens.
Yeah. I will say though, when I saw Ozzy, he had to have been in his mid-60s. He acted like a 20-year-old. He was incredibly impressive.
But
to
no
me.
Bats, right?
No bats. No bats. I was a little disappointed.
Really?
No. New movies in the theaters this weekend. Meg 2, The Trench, rated PG-13. Jason Statham returns in this Oscar-winning performance. No, I'm joking.
He's fighting. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's fighting a big shark.
Oh, it's a big shark.
It's a big shark that wants to devour Jason Statham and keep him from racing cars. If Jason Statham isn't racing a vehicle, I mean, he's doing that.
Because like, are a lot of sharks buy race cars? I'm just wondering.
I'm wondering too.
Okay.
I think they answer that in Meg 2, or maybe they answered it in Meg 1. And I don't know if you have to see Meg 1 in order to see Meg 2.
I mean, is it like the race track kind of goes over water and then he takes out the track and the car? Like,
no, that doesn't happen in this. It happens in Fast and the Furious 25.
So are we still waiting for that, or is that one out?
Oh, that one's coming out in like 5 years.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Okay. Well, they've already raced there.
Stay tuned.
In all honesty, I watch all those Fast and the Furious movies, so I'm not making fun of them too much. I will make fun of them a little bit, but not too much.
Well,
But they have already raced in space. They've already shot a car in space.
That's cool.
So now they got to do the old ocean thing. They have to, for sure. They have to. And I honestly, this is my wheelhouse. I pay attention to this world. I don't know how this was coming out and I missed it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, rated PG. After years of being sheltered from the human world by Master Splinter, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, and Donatello, your favorite mutant turtles, are out in the New York streets. Having at it. Guest voice include Jackie Chan, Ice Cube, Post Malone, Paul Rudd, John Cena, Rose Byrne, Seth Rogen. The music is by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, Oscar-winning Nine Inch Nails members.
Cool. So it's animated.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that part of the reason, from what I'm hearing, that this did not get a huge press release and everything is because they weren't too certain how good it was going to do. So I don't know. I don't know what you make of that.
We're not really sure about you guys, so we're not going to tell anyone.
This is the new way of doing movies, where you put all this money, all this time and effort into it, and it's either, we can either release the movie like The Flash, or we can do what they did with the Batgirl movie. They make the movie, it's all ready to go, and then they squash it because they can make more money off of the insurance because they are producers and studio companies, and all they care about is money.
Remember when the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie came out?
Yeah. That was fun.
That had to be in the 80s, you think?
Oh, 89,
88. Or early 90s, late 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I remember it because my brother was a huge into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I like the cartoon. I was a big fan of the video game. I really liked the video game in the arcade.
I don't know if I knew there was a... I guess I would know there was one, but I don't know if I ever played it.
You get a couple of your friends together and everybody could be the turtle and everybody's fighting over Donatello.
It was multiple players at once.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. You got all your quarters on the dare and stuff ready to go. The gold mine. Yes, gold mine. Thank you, brain. Oh, that's a win for me, Terry. That's a win.
You've been struggling with this?
Oh, I've just been worried. I've been testing my... So I believe that the writer's strike and the actor's strike is going to be ending sooner than later. And with that, it's time for actors like me to, sharpen our talons, get ready, because as soon as the gates open... You got to get out there. You got to start auditioning. So I've been working on my memory a little bit more and just been practicing it. I haven't been very happy with it. So I was pretty happy to just pull that out of thin air.
Yeah, the goldmine. Yeah.
Goldmine was awesome.
It had like a certain smell when you went in that little cave.
That carpet was from 1932.
It couldn't have been. But it could have been. Could have been repurposed when they built. Okay. But... good times.
If you are a Rapids person, or even from Marshfield or Wausau, we had people all over coming to that. That was the gold mine was a place in our mall around here that had all the arcade games and everything. And God, that was a great place. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll get into some more fun on the morning show, WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Ain't there something I can give in exchange for everything you give to me?
Kind of getting a 70s lounge vibe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anita Baker, that's her era. So I will never forget this song coming on the radio. We're, I think, in Batavia. I'm a kid, and I didn't even know my dad was home. And he just comes out of nowhere and grabs my mom and starts dancing with her while she was mopping. I'll never forget it, to that song. I think of it every time that song comes on.
And then when he released her, he took the mop and finished, right?
He did a lot of chores around the house. I don't think that's how that ended. I think
that's how we should remember it.
It should have ended that way, maybe, but yeah. Terry, journalistically, I should let the audience know that I have no integrity with this next conversation because I have never been on vacation. But I got in front of me here.
That is so weird.
I know,
vacation.
It's another one of those summers, too, where I told myself in June that I was going to for sure this summer.
You've and also here been we are going camping for 8 years.
Exactly. You're so right. I got it's on me. It's on me. I don't blame anybody else for that stuff.
All right, let's talk vacation.
The 10 most annoying vacation photos. The most annoying thing you can do is post daily status updates. 61% of people say that that is a little bit of overboard. 53% of people say that their friends' vacation shots sometimes just make them jealous and annoyed.
Well, then scroll by.
That's tacky. Look, I just said I've never been on one. I've never felt that before.
No, me either. And if somebody's posting too much, you know, if they're doing daily posts, I mean, grandma loves that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like if you're not interested, just move on.
My daughter just went on a trip, a 30-hour train ride to San Antonio, from here to San Antonio, back and forth and everything. I love that she kind of did that. And she kind of actually felt like, for one, I wasn't as worried about her, I'll tell you that, as a worrier and somebody that, you know, overthinks and everything. I wasn't as nearly as worried because I was seeing how she was doing. But I also thought it was kind of cool. It was like a little travel log. It was neat.
See, the thing that I think about when people do that, though, is you're also putting out there that you're gone.
That part worries me.
So, I mean, it's a horse apiece, but I'm just saying. But I kind of, I'm more inclined to, like, do a vacation photo dump once we're back home.
Yeah.
Not versus, you know, posting, like, in general.
I would recommend that. I think that's a good way to do it. But I don't think there's no. You're right, though, that there's a hair in between this. But I could see how some of this could be annoying. I can't understand how you could be annoyed by it.
Well,
by somebody having fun.
But, you know,
that's so petty.
We're in the day and age where people look for things to get irritated about. Like,
you're right.
Move on.
Yeah, yeah. You're cutting your bread wrong. How dare you? That's never how you're supposed to cut bread. You know, yeah.
Well.
So number one on the list, thirst trap photos. Anything where you're trying too hard to be sexy. I learned very, very early in the selfie game, don't try. Don't try, James. Because when you try, it's so bad. What I do is I set the timer, and wherever it sticks, as long as, like, I'm not making like a face, you know, or something like that. Like, I don't look like I'm in half motion or something. I keep it.
So when the reaction is more little laughy faces than thumbs up, then you're like, oh, maybe not.
Because I don't think, like, it's one of those things too where there are. Look, it's social media. I don't take a lot from it. Do I like when people like my things? Sure, because I'm a human being. But my whole life doesn't revolve around it. At the same time, you feel it when, like, nobody likes your picture. When you post something and nobody likes it. Like, you have a new profile. Like, I just did this. I have a new profile picture. I put it up, like, a month or two ago. I don't think anybody liked that photo.
Where the heck is your mom?
It hurts. It hits you. It's enough. Like, we got enough things that hit us in life. Like, here's another one that does. Like,
You have a new profile picture on Facebook?
I think so.
Now I'm going to go find it.
I think so. Well, I'm changing it anyway. I'm going to be changing it tomorrow. I actually tried to change it this morning. But Facebook's got like 90 things you got to go through right now to be able to get on there.
Well, I mean, you know.
So that's one that I kind of get, but I wouldn't even know where to begin if somebody told me, hey, James, take a sexy picture. God.
And why?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
Like,
yeah. Like,
I don't know.
Vacation countdowns, like posting a photo of Cancun with the caption, arriving in 18 days and 37 minutes. People get tired of that.
I do know people who do that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I've done a countdown for vacations, like, not on social media, but, like, you know what I mean, in the house. Like, the first time we took the kids to somewhere that you don't like, Disney. we did it. You know what I mean? Like, we had a countdown. Like, put a sticker over each, you know, getting ready. But
I think it's fun in the house to do that stuff. I could see on social media getting a little, well, and there's, now here's where I'll go to what you were saying before, Terry, about, you know, putting too much information out there possibly and your house being an open, you know, a bullseye on it almost. That you're really setting up for that, I would think. Throwback posts, photos from previous vacations. What's the harm in that? It's your page.
I still am like, scroll by.
Yeah. If you don't like it, keep scrolling. That's all you got to do. Culinary instinctive posts, like a goofy photo in front of a famous cathedral. This one I do have in it. This one I am going to nitpick at a little bit. Because you were in a day and age where you've got people taking like selfies at Auschwitz. Like, that ain't right. Sorry, maybe I'm a little sensitive on that one, but you know that, or you're at the beaches of Normandy and you're taking photos like of the beach or what, like of you on the beach or something like that. Like, I know I had a ex of mine who was studying abroad, And she went out of her way to go to the beaches to take pictures of the beaches themselves.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
And she sent them to my papa because my papa was literally fighting on that beach, and to my grandfather who did as well. That was different. That was a beautiful moment. I really thought that was a really cool. I didn't even ask her to do that. I just thought it was really cool she did. That's very different than, it's about me. I got to take a picture of me by the opening of Auschwitz or something like that. Like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, that's one of those ones I don't want to punch you. I want to pimp slap you. You don't deserve a punch. I want to pimp slap, and I want your parents to feel it. Like, that ain't right, man. That's one of the biggest that ain't right stories ever. That is a little too much. Anything that involves yoga? What is that? I don't know what that they mean by that. Anything that involves yoga when you're on a vacation?
I don't know. I don't know. Are they being critical of them practicing yoga while they're supposed to be on vacation?
I don't know.
They just don't want to see them in these contortions? I don't know.
Question. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Quote, the pulling you along photo where two people are holding hands and one of them, usually the girlfriend, is leading the way. I don't think I've seen many of those.
I don't know that I've even observed that. Like, if I see two people holding hands, I'm not like, which one's a step ahead of the other one?
Yeah. The only time I've ever seen that is that meme. The meme of the guy looking back at a girl, and his girlfriend is looking at him cross, and everything. That's the only time I've ever seen
thinking,
that.
I'm thinking, get a life, people.
Yes, yes. Every one of these is really, outside of the one taken,
I don't know, pick up a part-time job. I don't know.
Legs by the pool photos, the ones that inspired the hot dog legs meme.
So, talking about the pool, though. Mm. So, we have an above-ground swimming pool. Right. So on Facebook, there is an above ground swimming pool group. And so sometimes, cool. I mean, when I first joined it, it was more helpful, if your water's cloudy, hey, this happened. Can you help me? Well, then someone somewhere posted a picture of them in their pool. Here's selfies. Right. And it had cleavage. And then there is a thousand cleavage pictures. But then you've got all these people crabbing about it. Yeah. And so then even more pictures get posted. And then it was the legs. And I don't even, I would delete it because there's nothing of value there anymore. Except I laugh so hard at some of these people. Because I'm like, really?
I genuinely think part of the reason, the major reason I use social media is to promote, whether it's the radio station or my acting career or projects that I'm a part of or friends of mine are a part of. It is free advertising. I use it all the time. But on a personal level, I like to just sit back and watch. I grab my popcorn and just sit back and watch the childishness of it. It's kind of funny.
But I can't stop laughing. So the legs by the pool thing, I mean, I get it.
Airport check-in pics, like a shot of your luggage. I mean, that's just kind of I don't know the point. I don't know really, and I don't think that's a very smart idea to be putting your luggage on social media.
I don't know.
You don't have to share everything. There's really a...
Because you know what? There's not that many people that want to know.
Yeah, yeah. And chances are, here's a difference to me, though. If you and I are, we're Snap friends, and you're on vacation, and you send me that photo privately, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's kind of fun, cool. It's interesting. It's like, Terry.
Oh, hey, where are you going?
Yeah. Terry made it safely. Yeah. All right, that's cool. That kind of thing. But so, on your whole page and everything, that's a little much. Weird. That's a little much.
But again, it also goes to what we were talking about earlier. Like, you can't go on Facebook and actually see anything you want to see because there's so much crap.
No.
But, I mean, you just, scroll by.
It's like Zuckerberg got jealous of Elon Musk destroying Twitter and wanted to do the same thing to
Facebook.
I don't know. You think you can destroy it. I can destroy it, too. You think you can destroy a multi-billion-dollar industry. Well, watch me do it too.
But you probably should check your notifications because now you had one person like your profile picture.
that's so nice. Tons of different pictures of the same landmark from different angles.
Agree.
Yeah,
that's probably the one because I do like that somebody will post. Maybe they do get home and they have there's 40 pictures of their vacation, and I'll scroll, but then I'm like, why am I seeing the same thing 17 times?
Yeah, that's so much. And finally, selfies of landmarks where you're standing in the way, blocking them.
Well, how can it be a selfie if you're not?
I suppose.
Blocking it.
But if you're going to take a picture next to the, Statue of Liberty, you might want to get the, beautiful green lady in the shot. You might, you're kind of covering the shot there or whatever, I guess. I don't know.
The poll also looked at the most common annoying vacation photos we post. 25% of us have posted a shot of ourselves looking out an airplane window. 24% of us are guilty of cliche shots like holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something like that. Or,
but, you know, it's also just all in good fun.
It's your vacation.
Move on.
Have fun. Have fun. And if you don't like these things, again, like Terry said, just keep scrolling.
Can you imagine the first time you actually go camping? Oh my gosh, we're going to see like everything. We're going to see the tent poles and the firewood. And
you're going to get an update every 5 minutes. Like, James posting again. James posting again. That doesn't look good.
You're going to be like, who knew you could cook over an open fire?
It might. Yes, yes. There are bears out in the woods.
You know, I think we should make this happen because I find it quite humorous.
Just out of sheer entertainment purposes, I think it might be useful.
But I'm trying to debate to like invite you and help you or watch you struggle.
It might be. Let's do both. Let's see how
a
that
day
goes.
Of each.
Yep. See how this goes. We'll discuss that during our break and as you listen to Melissa's news here on WFHR locally grown radio.
I love this song.
Oh, good one. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Let's go.
This is just an automatic crank.
Yeah.
Crank it up.
Yeah, yeah. Terry and James here with you. Getting you ready for the weekend. Thanks so much for joining us and kicking off your morning with us. We appreciate that. We're going to talk a little grilling now.
All right.
Some grilling. If you're doing some grilling this summer, here are 4 tips to make it healthier for you and the environment.
Wait, let me get a hold of my husband so that he can listen. I'm not the griller.
I've definitely sent this to my dad already. I have taken over a little bit of the grilling stuff with my dad going through some hip issues and just had surgery. But he is on the mend now. And the other day, I think it was Sunday.
So he's over your shoulder?
Yep. I can handle a backseat driver.
Huh.
I can't handle the backseat griller.
Well,
I can't.
You
do
got
it.
One.
I do. Right there. Right. That's how you gonna do that, Jimmy? Well, you know,
maybe you could get him to document it on social media.
Yes,
like a vacation.
So, number one on this list: use high quality pure lump charcoal.
Oh wait, what are we doing? We're saving the environment with our grilling. Is that what this is?
It's making it healthier. Better for the environment,
right.
And it should make the job easier for you too. Charcoal briskets are popular because they're easy to light and provide even heat to the grill. But the chunks are often held together with chemical additives that can release additional emissions into the air. And also, those emissions go into your food. Like you notice a difference with the different coals. Now, I'm also one of those guys that I like to use the same coals as long as I can. There's something.
Oh
about
yeah,
the
till they kind of
and everything,
and they kind of fall through.
Yeah, and get your money's worth.
So are you a charcoal griller, not a gas griller?
Oh, yeah, 100% charcoal.
I like charcoal better too, but we do have both because sometimes, honestly, when you need dinner like now, it's easy to just turn it on.
I get it. I mean, nowadays, some of these grills got both in the same grill.
Or the electric grills, too, are kind of slick.
Yeah.
But there is something about, if you ever go camping, there is something about cooking over an open fire.
Yes.
You know, like a wood fire.
Those I don't mind those other options, but there is nothing like a flame broil. There is nothing like that. Avoid lighter fluid. Lighter fluid is made of hydrocarbons, which can be toxic if ingested, and the smoke given off by a lighter fluid soaked coals contributes to air pollution.
And, you know, once it's already lit, another squirt isn't the best idea.
No. it is unnecessary.
I mean, because it can come right up that trail.
The bringing out the inner pyro in you is not a good idea.
I mean, it's fun, but it's not a great idea.
Nobody is saying it's not fun. So I agree with you there.
I'm thinking about this. You know how you always kind of wait with charcoal until they turn gray, right? Before you kind of put the food on. So I'm thinking that is part of that, like letting some of that burn off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does not change what's going up into the air, but I'm thinking about the food quality.
Yeah,
you know, is some of that being released before? That's what I'm going to tell myself. I've had a lot of grilled burgers and hot dogs, and I haven't turned green yet. So
you seem all right. Seem all right to me. You got a green shirt, but not a green. You're green.
I do have a green shirt. Shut up.
Shut down the grill as soon as you're done cooking. Most people will let their coals burn down and out when they're done cooking, which means hours of extra and unnecessary emissions. Instead, when you're done cooking, simply close the lid and shut any vents. I don't know. My dad's never always, and my dad has always done that.
But I wonder. Hmm. I'm just speaking from the same, you know, kind of idea around grilling. But I'm just thinking about, like, as a kid, we always, you know, when they were done with the grill, same thing. But I think it was more about saving the charcoal to be able to use it again.
That's not, my first thought.
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
I'm positive.
Why let it sit there and burn for 3 hours and then you have to use all new?
Especially, again, because my dad loved reusing those coals. He liked to him and to me, I guess, the flavor, everything that you get from that.
But I think also just cost.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean.
You had me at cost. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And finally, switch to a natural gas grill. If you want to go all in with eco-friendly grilling practices, ditch the charcoal in favor of a natural gas grill. Teach their own. This is one of those things. I think that one of the things that we've got to understand with this is that while we have to be patient with it, the earth has already been patient with us. And so I think that you have to find those lanes where you can impact the environment and make an impact. Maybe this isn't it, but maybe you can in another angle. But I think everybody can do some effort towards this. And I think that we already have proven that we all recycle. When we were kids, Terry, and this stuff first started talking about recycling, how much pushback was there?
Oh,
how much,
absolutely.
I'm never doing that, or I'm not recycling this. Now every single human being recycles.
And now it's weird when you go somewhere and you're like, oh, where do you put your recycling?
Yeah.
Oh, we just throw it away. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
it's
kind of weird because it is like everyone recycles.
Can make an impact. And one of the biggest things you can do, I think that one of the very first things you can do to impact the environment is have the realization, this is not just, it is bigger than you.
Yeah,
this
it's
isn't
not yours.
Just about you.
For sure.
We all know that there are plenty of people running around out there that think the roads are just for them or the laws are just for them or whatever. This is an opportunity to really have some perspective. Damn feelings.
I think they think the laws are not for them.
Yeah, you might be more right about that. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, though, honestly, there is nothing probably that I like better. I love a grilled steak. I mean, I'm a carnivore, like I'm a meat eater,
yes.
But there is nothing that I like more than a hot dog on the charcoal grill. Like,
ooh,
I love that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on this. Wholeheartedly.
It's summer.
I'm more of the burger, but I'll take the hot dog.
I'll take the brat. Yeah, I like them all.
You know
a hot dog?
A brat in the summer may be more than a hot dog or a burger to me.
You boiling them in beer first?
Sometimes if they're not already done. Yeah, I'm realizing right now that is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever said in my life.
Do you need a napkin for your drool? Or?
I'm getting hungry, I'll tell you that. As if Misty's didn't make me hungry and then the Culver's conversation didn't make me hungry.
I mean, you know.
We're getting you ready for summer. We're getting ready for
there
hunger.
Should be somebody like grilling right out in front here bringing us
something. We should definitely have that. Terry and I are going to take a quick break. We'll come back and take it to the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little pets. Also got some Danny Wright stories. We'll talk rafters, talk United Way, and talk a lot more fun coming up on the morning show at WFHR. This is the one we've been waiting for.
See, just delete the 90 group.
Yeah, just have this one right here.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to.
And you know what's awesome? It's timeless. People still feel like this.
You're so right. Well, pour myself a cup of ambition. That's such a good line. It's such a good
line.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
Thank you, Dolly. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Terry and James here with you. I'm going to talk a little bit about pet ownership before we get into our That Ain't Right story. Although being a pet owner some days is a That Ain't Right story. It is.
Most, well, depends.
Most pet owners would probably say they'd do anything for their pet, and that makes sense. Pets become a part of our family, and if there's anything they need, sure, we're going to do it. But is there a limit? Like, what if they needed your kidney? In a survey, pet owners, 58% of people say that they would donate a kidney to their pet if they could. Of course, that is hypothetical. That does not exist. There is no human-to-pet transplant that happens. That's not actually a thing. That's not even in sci-fi movies. How far-fetched that is.
If it was a thing? I'd be a no.
No. No, I wouldn't. And you're not going to hear many people in this world that love animals more than me. But I say that like a lot of animal lovers.
So then you wonder, though. I mean, I'm sure there's situations, right? Like maybe you've never had or been able to have children and you've always had these pets. And now you're, I don't know, like 75 and you're dog needs your kidney. I wouldn't
begrudge somebody if they did. If my friend told me, "Hey, I'm doing this," I'm not going to make fun of them. I'm not going to rip on them. But to
really?
Me,
not even a little.
Maybe a little. But
what happened to honesty?
Honestly, I've never thought about this before.
No, me either.
In thinking about it, though, the reason I wouldn't do it is because I would want to be able to have it if I need to give to a family member or something like that.
So I think it's weird, and I hope they never figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some things that boundaries that just shouldn't get crossed, in my opinion.
And I love animals.
Yeah,
I think about this from time to time with my little fur brother, Sam. Like, Sam's 7, 8, and he's, you know, getting up there in age and stuff, and it makes you worry about these things and think about, geez, I don't even like thinking about the idea of him not being around. But that's part of the gift of pets, is that we only get them for so long, and they only get so long. And it's very selfish, the idea to me, to keep a pet alive when it is not happy. When it is unhealthy, when it is
when
slowly
it's clearly at end of life, yes.
There's a big difference of letting that animal have its run. That's different, especially if the vet and everybody is on the same page and like, hey, you know, he might make it another couple months. Let's let the guy have a couple more months of life. He only gets 10 years or whatever. That seems cool to me. But these people that spend thousands and thousands of dollars to like
prolong life.
Yeah,
yes.
That's selfish. I think that's very selfish. It's not about you. It's about the animal. That's what being a pet owner is. That's to me, at least. And I know my luck in my family's luck. Let's say I could do this and I give a kidney to Sam and Sam gets to live like 3 more years. I guarantee you a year later, at the very least, somebody in my family is going to need a kidney and I don't have it.
Or you're dying from kidney failure.
Or I'm dying from kidney failure, yes. While Sam is at my funeral licking the coffin. Yeah, yeah. That's what would happen in my life. That's a right story, Terry. In 86% of pet
owners, Sam lives on.
Yeah, but Sam keeps going for at least a year and then he's done. And then, you know, 86% of pet owners say that they worry about their pet's health as much as their own.
I get that. I mean, I can get that with some people. Yeah.
But costs are a concern. Nearly 30% say that they would struggle to pay a veterinary bill of $500 or more. That's the part about this whole pet ownership thing that just doesn't, you know, it's never added up. And 424-2600, if you would give your pet a kidney or you have a an opinion about this or anything, that is one of the biggest cruxes of all of this. If it was a more affordable thing, then I think a lot more people would. I'm not saying give their pet a kidney, but they, you know.
Or maybe have a surgery for a pet that you wouldn't otherwise, yeah.
If it was more affordable, I could see that stuff. I don't know. You know,
I do get concerned because sometimes I hear of situations where, and it is a family member, so it's very hard, but it's like you don't have, exactly what you just said. They couldn't afford a bill over $500, but the bill is going to be like $2,500. Well, sometimes you have to make some really hard decisions.
And being completely honest, especially knowing exactly what you're talking about, I've been in that situation a couple of times, and there was a time where we didn't, and then there was a time where we did. So I've been on both sides
absolutely.
Of this. Yeah. It's been time for That Ain't Right story. It's been so hot this summer that some watermelons are turning into deadly ticking time bombs. The heat can cause the fruit inside to ferment, and if that happens, you'll see a frothy foam bubbling out of the watermelon. It's complicated, but basically it's a combination of bacteria and the fruit's natural sugars and above average temperatures.
So it's not rabid.
No, thankfully. Both where they grow and where they're being stored. It may sound like a fermenting watermelon could be a fun thing, but it's like becoming but it's actually dangerous and should never be eaten. Fermenting watermelon is the ideal environment for toxic pathogens, including potassium, E. coli, salmonella, and even enough gas to produce in the process. It can even cause the watermelon to explode.
So this isn't where you put the hole in and dump the vodka bottle.
No, it is not. Right, okay. It is so hot, Terry. We have exploding watermelons, and Gallagher has nothing to do with it.
Could you seriously imagine? Like, Randy plants watermelons in our garden, but like, could you imagine like walking by and all of a sudden?
Yeah. What the?
And think about how much that would hurt if it actually had some trajectory to it. I mean, those rinds are. hard.
Plus, I can't think, like, this is something, I don't know if women do this or not, but guys do this all the time. Trading war stories. You're showing scars. Like, I got this scar from this. I got this scar from that. You ain't ever doing that with that. What did you get that scar from? No, I don't want to say.
Yeah, this is where I got hit by a watermelon.
I got a watermelon grind in my knee, and, you see that dent there, that watermelon grind. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a little goofy. Yeah. So the only way to tell if your watermelon is rabid is if it's foaming.
Well, they say to avoid the risk of fermentation, experts say you can keep watermelons in the fridge once you bring them home. And
what about till they get home?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
It doesn't really say in the article, in the other article I read either.
Like, if you cut one open, how do you know it's bad? And what if it's in my kitchen and I start to cut it open and then it explodes? I would be so mad.
Yeah, that would be.
Watermelons are so sticky. I mean,
So they apparently sell, I believe it's in Japan, they sell square watermelons.
What?
They're really expensive too. There's an episode of The Simpsons. Homer buys one, and as soon as he goes to cut it, it flips to a regular size watermelon.
How do they do that? Do they grow them in, like, seriously? Do they grow them in a structure?
Yeah, they grow them in a certain way, in a certain structure. I believe. I believe that's how it's done. I don't quote me on that one, but I believe that's
I'm
how
going
it's,
to.
From what I've seen,
I will quote you
because I did look into this
tomorrow.
A while back. Yeah, please, and you go ahead and send me the article of how they actually do it, please.
When I'm documenting it,
yes,
on Facebook.
We need a palate cleanser, and I want to kick it off with this, our local good stories. This weekend, if you ain't got any plans, we got something for you. Be sure to head on over to Holly Rocks tomorrow night, 8 to 11. Our good friend, Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Michael Charles and his band are going to be performing live at Holly Rocks right here in Wisconsin Rapids. This is an artist that is in the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame. Buddy Guy, he played with Buddy Guy. He was on Director's Cut with us a week or so ago. If you're curious, go ahead and check out the interview. We played a bunch of his music. Michael is one of these guitar players where you, like, a lot of guitar players are making faces and stuff when they're playing guitar. Michael does that with his guitar. Like, there are a few artists I have heard that sound is so clear as he and so good in live as he does. And he's been doing this a long time. To have a gift like this in town.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Go check it out, everybody. Holly Rocks, great place too. Great venue. Love our friends over at Holly Rocks. Send a shout out to them. Buy local, support local. And have a great time with Michael Charles tomorrow night at Holly Rocks from 8 to 11. Of course, Rafters on a winning streak. That's a good story of the day. Brendan Bobo breaking the home run record for the Rafters is a good story of the day.
That's cool. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Shout out to Brendan. Good guy. He's been on the air with us a couple times. Rapids improved to 15-11 and have won 5 straight. And if that all ain't enough for you, how about the fact that our Rafters are in first place in the Great Lakes West Division?
Woo!
I told you this was going to happen. I told you, people. It's 10 games to go and we're in first place. The race is on for the playoffs. Dock Spiders are coming, are only a game back of the Rafters. And these two will square off tonight at Hare Baker Field and tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, I believe. Let me double check.
No, I think
nope.
Saturday they play the
You're right.
Woodchucks, right?
Yeah. They're going to be taking on the Rafter Fond du Lac tonight in Fond du Lac, 6:20 pregame. And then tomorrow, part of a makeup game, they're in Wausau for a 9-inning game, and then starting in the second inning. And then that'll be followed by a seven-inning game. Yes. So basically, the action kicks off about 3:50 tomorrow for this doubleheader. Let's play two and let's win, Rafters. Come on, keep winning, baby. You can get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com. And, of course, every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR. Join us for all of our weekend programs. Great stuff lined up for you. Like at 7 tomorrow morning, you have the Sunshine Polka Show at 11 to noon. You've got Over the Back Fence. Join me for that. I'll be doing Over the Back Fence tomorrow. And, of course, you've got Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8. Music is his theme this week. That's a pretty fun one. And Director's Cut from 8 to 9, where we will have in Anna Rebecca. Anna has joined us before on the airwaves. She was the piano player for one of our FRM Fridays.
Yeah.
She's going to be a great guest. We can't wait for that.
Cool. I'm just trying to think what I can call and heckle you with tomorrow during Over the Back Fence.
Please feel free to. Please do. Seth and
maybe
I
camping gear.
Seth and I have a little bit of a competition. So we
what's the competition?
The
number of calls?
Yeah, who can get the most calls. Yes. So I appreciate that. And, of course, we got great stuff coming. coming up today on Midday Magazine. Join us in part one at 3 o'clock when Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug will be with us. Always appreciate the conversation from him. And in part two, we wrap up with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, their children's production of Toasted. We got a couple of the cast members. We have Ryan coming in, playwright and director. It's going to be fun.
That I love it when the kid student actors come in. I think that's cool.
Get your tickets for that show at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Again, buy local, support local. We wrap up with our great friends at the United Way. Terry, again, really successful Stuff the Bus event, but we could always use a little bit more out of people.
Absolutely. Cannot say enough about everyone who dropped off school supplies yesterday at Lunch by the River, all of the volunteers, everyone who was part of this, even, you know, the school bus driver. We don't think about that. She sat there while, you know, while we loaded that bus and got those supplies over. So, you know, very thankful for that, but we are still taking monetary donations to help support Stuff the Bus. And so if you're interested in helping us in that way, you can give us a call at 715-421-0390. Of course, mail a check or hop online and you can make a donation with your credit or debit card as well. Because we are still, we're looking at probably serving about 1,000 kids this year. So that's a lot. And every student gets a backpack with the supplies that they need. So I encourage you, if you've, you know, thought about it but not actually done it, to jump on board and maybe make a monetary donation to support the efforts.
UWSWAC.org is where you want to go. We got the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge. Be sure to donate if you can. Post that selfie of you doing that donation with the hashtag Civic Pints. Get yourself some brewer gear, rafter gear, you know, state fair stuff.
And you can get rafter tickets still, right?
Brewer tickets, rafter tickets. Yes.
So, I mean, because they're a hot streak.
Yeah.
Get on. You can get free tickets.
We got tickets for you. And we want, you are the good story of the day. Thank you so much for joining us all week. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at
News Talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.